Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world, but if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, welcome back. It's good to have you along again too. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give the discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the head of marketing at Pay Dashboard, Laura Hughes. Laura, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here today. We're talking over Zoom and you've got one of these blurry backgrounds on, so I've got no idea where you are. And in any case, our listeners can't see you. So can you perhaps paint a picture? Where do we find you today?
So today I'm in the corner of our spare bedroom, which doubles as my home office.
Okay.
Because why would you go into the office on a Friday afternoon anymore unless you're going out for drinks in the evening?
This is really true. And does that apply to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday as well? Or are you finding that there's a good balance now happening between work and home life?
Yeah, good balance now. Going into the office a couple of days a week, but typically going in for sessions where we've identified that we need people in a room for more kind of collaborative work.
Okay.
And then, you know, being at home for the day-to-day, answering of emails and writing content and reporting, we've very much now taken the approach of go into the office when you need to be in the office. And if you don't need to be in the office, be at home and work flexibly to suit what you've got going on.
Sounds fair. And the office is the Pay Dashboard office. So what does Pay Dashboard do, Laura?
So Pay Dashboard is a digital payslip platform. So we deliver pay information to employees. We deliver payslips to 1% of the UK's workforce. And we work with big name clients in the accounting and bureau sector, as well as with companies who are running payroll in-house for their own employees.
And you're head of marketing. So what does the head of marketing do at Pay Dashboard?
I'd answer back with what don't they do? Doesn't they do? Goodness, my English is terrible today.
Not the copywriting bit then, that's somebody else.
As backstory, I've been at Pay Dashboard now for 7 years. Right. When I joined, my job title was marketing manager. And I was also the first employee of the company. So I actually joined when we had a product still in beta. We didn't have a site, which made researching the company before the interview really quite challenging. I felt so underprepared. So my role has morphed a lot over time as we've kind of grown. And in any lean company, in any sort of startup or scale up, you find that your role ends up filling the gaps that are between other people's roles as well.
Right.
So I cover, the traditional marketing areas now as head of marketing, our marketing and growth strategy, team management, forecasting, all of those usual things. But then I also drew the delightful short straw of being our CRM administrator, reporting queen. So I manage all of our data in our CRM system. I do customizations for the team within, we use Salesforce as a platform. So I do all the customizations when they need, automations or new fields adding or different processes set up to support the business. And then I also get involved with some of the board level activities. So I've been involved in helping raise investment for the company, talking to investors and shareholders, helping to pitch for investment, and also winning grant funding as well. So in a small company, marketing touches quite a few areas.
And that's amazing, isn't it? And there's so many different kind of functional areas. It's always astonishes me, you know, in our discipline, how you can find sort of three people with the same job title, all of whom do completely different things. So from that big range there, can you perhaps pick out some of the things that you personally really enjoy, but also maybe some of the things that are kind of the real challenges at the moment?
Yeah, and I think that both of them for me are the same thing. I enjoy things I find challenging. I like being good at things, so I do like the things that I find easy because I'm good at them. But I get a real thrill out of doing something that pushes me outside of my comfort zone. I think the main one on that for me would be around the investment piece and when I've been involved in the past raising investment for the company. Because what I see that I'm bringing to that is really applying a business marketing skill set to perhaps an area that wouldn't traditionally or immediately be thought of as marketing. Actually, what you've got to do when you're speaking to a potential investor is they might not be involved in tech or in payroll in our case.
Okay.
So I've got to really articulate to them the market, the proposition, what we're solving, who we're solving it for. So all of the things that marketers do day to day with their four P's or five P's or however many P's there are at the moment, but articulate that to an audience who's not going to buy our product in terms of using it themselves, but what you've get them on the hook and they want to invest in your product and they've got to believe in it in the same way.
So the content is less specialist and the result that you're wanting is different. You have a kind of different call to action on it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's applying the fundamentals of marketing, but just doing it in a different way and taking those, the expertise that you have, the knowledge that you have of the market, and just articulating that to somebody in a different way, in order to get a kind of a different result. In this case, you know, raising investment or winning grant funding.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the way that you framed that, you framed it in a classical marketing way, but actually, you know, investor relations very frequently involves people from finance. And you don't really see many marketers get a look in the space. So it's really refreshing to find a company here that does.
Yeah, I think it's about recognizing the skill sets that you have in your company. And as you say, I think when it comes to investor relations, or, you know, potentially, in my case, I was mostly involved in pitching for new investment.
Right.
And so sort of bringing new people on board. Your marketing team should be the people who know your market really, really well across all the spectrum of things that potential investors want to know, you know, size of the market, competitors in the market, your market positioning. Those are all things that a potential investor really needs to know about before they commit to coming on board. And that expertise actually often doesn't sit in finance. You need to be looking outside at the, you know, commercial teams. Perhaps teams would look at their you know, head of sales or you know, chief growth or revenue officer. And it happens in Pay Dashboard that fits very well into my sort of skill set and my knowledge area, obviously built up over the 7 years that I've been here.
And is that something that you've kind of deliberately managed? You know, you've seen an area open up in Pay Dashboard that you're interested in, and so you've kind of lobbied the great and the good to be able to get there? Or you know, would you say it's kind of been imposed upon you with various degrees? How has that evolved over time?
I think it evolved really. I mean, we had early on at Pay Dashboard, after I've been there about a year and a half, we had a typical situation that you get in startups where our CEO had a fantastic idea, brilliant idea, concept for a product, but perhaps wasn't the best at commercially running a business.
Right.
So a group of investors came in and they, you know, really believed in the product and refinanced the company and started sort of running it. And then we had to do a fundraising round quite quickly after. And I helped sort of pull the documents together. And the sort of the new management management team who came in kind of recognised, oh, actually Laura's done a really good job with this.
Right.
Next time it came around, I was asked to be involved again. And I just started almost kind of expanding the extent to which I was involved in that process each time we wanted to raise funds, through to things like presenting at shareholder AGMs, or going along for lunch with a potential investor, with the CEO or with the chairman. And I've always expressed to them at each point that I enjoy doing it and I would like to do more of it. And they've been very happy to, you know, support me in that sort of personal development as well. So it just kind of organically happened.
Great. So let's go back even further. So you painted the picture of your kind of application to be the marketing manager, the employee number one at Pay Dashboard. But how did you get to that place? So take us through a bit of your career journey to get there. And maybe also, if you could also perhaps point out a few lessons that we non-Pay Dashboard people might be able to pick up on the way.
So I think, like many people that I speak to in marketing, I ended up very much falling into it. I did a completely useless degree. I had to pay £30,000 for it. I wouldn't have done, but that shows my age. I didn't have to pay £30,000 for my degree. My degree was in theatre design, so sets, costumes, lighting, scenography, that kind of thing. And I realised about halfway through with the degree that I absolutely did not want to work in theatre at all. Started looking into other areas and kind of fell into the event design and event management side of things. Okay. My first job was in event management. And then sort of next jobs after that, had an events focus, but I started getting asked to get involved in more and more of the marketing. So I kind of organically over a couple of years period kind of moved from very much events organizing and administration through to marketing, all within like finance sector. But I was then doing more and more kind of marketing and communications side. And then I decided that marketing was a career path that I really wanted to go for. But I didn't have any, at this point, any formal kind of qualifications. My job title didn't have marketing in it.
Right.
So found it a little bit difficult to make that transition. And eventually I managed to get a job with a tech startup that had a fitness running app as their sort of first marketing manager, purely on the fact that it was an interest area.
Right.
And they liked my passion and energy. And they said, we'll train you up inside. It happened that the CEO of that company had a marketing background himself, so it wasn't a skills gap. Mm. Unfortunately, that company didn't secure all the funding that they wanted to get hold of. So I was made redundant 3 months in. Okay. And that's, I think, one of my lessons really, is that I love startup life, and any marketer who came to me saying I'm thinking of going to a startup, I would absolutely encourage that experience, because I think what we were just talking about, you know, the involvement in fundraising, the breadth of experience that you get working for a small company, I think is really valuable as a marketer, to really see, you know, the impact of what you do on sales, the impact of what you do on customer success and that kind of thing. You can really see it in a small company. But with hindsight, I clearly should have drilled down into that company more and found out, you know, how is your funding? Like, how are you funded? You know, literally, what's in your bank balance? Because there's no returns on Companies House because you're so new. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely, that is something that I would do in the future. And that, if speaking to other marketers who said, I'm thinking of getting into the startup land, I've very much said, look, it's great, but you need to be ready for it to all fall down around your ears. You probably need to have a bit of a financial cushion there, you know, and really, because this, what is it, something like 1 in 2 startups fail, or 3 in 4 startups fail in the first 2 years. It's by no means an easy thing to kind of go out there and do. Which then coincidentally, I was at that point having been made redundant from that tech startup, not looking to work in tech, wanting to get out of the finance space because all of my roles up to that point had been in finance, didn't want to be pigeonholed. And I was approached about this role at this company called Paid Ashboard. And I had a first telephone interview with them, was quite nervous about obviously them being a startup. But had a nice phone interview with the CEO at the time, who invited me to a face-to-face interview. And I asked on the phone about their financial position. And after that phone interview, he sent me this really long email with details of all of their shareholders and the funding that they had raised and, you know, and the backing that they had and, you know, who the companies were and all of this stuff that I wouldn't be able to research because it was on the website. And I just kind of thought, well, he's gone to so much effort. I'll go to the interview. I'll use it as interview practice. I don't want this job, but I'll use it as interview practice. And I walked in there and spent 2 hours with him going through everything and dissecting their business model and what the product was, and walked out having shook hands on an offer and started.
Wow.
So it was all a bit of a whirlwind. But when I got into that interview and sat down, he told me about the product and what it was going to do. And I could just totally see the fit and I was just really excited by it. So it didn't matter that it was another tech startup or that was in the finance sector. Because I could see this niche that perhaps there hadn't been with the previous company that hadn't worked out.
Wow, what a great story. So let's move to maybe the discipline of marketing then. Constantly changing, constantly evolving. So what's the latest in business marketing that you see? What's the thing that's keeping you engaged?
I just think the position that we can play within companies where we know the data piece of kind of, you know, the mapping of the customer journey, the data on like sort of demand, intent, that kind of thing, I think is becoming really key, where you've got all of these changes that we're seeing with third-party cookies. You know, we're becoming more reliant on first party data. And if you want that first party data at scale, that's got to come from marketing. That's not going to come from your sales and SDR teams hitting the phones on a cold call list. So I think that that's now starting to be recognized with companies as well. You know, we're starting to see more and more companies appointing CMOs and those CMOs actually staying in roles for longer. Because I know we've chatted before, Dave, about the tenure of a CMO.
2 years max.
Yeah. but I think that companies are really starting to recognise now that there's a sophistication that needs to be bought, particularly to B2B marketing. And marketing team, I believe, if used correctly, can be hugely influential and supportive throughout the business. You know, it's not just the lead generation piece, which obviously is very important and is the thing that, you know, you're talking to your CEO or your CRO about.
Yeah.
But the wider role that marketing plays in that brand positioning, brand awareness. In our market, there's stats that say that 2 in 3 tech deals go to vendors who were known to the buyer before they even began the buying process. So instantly, the role that marketing play in that kind of brand and industry piece is really critical to the long-term success of a business.
Yeah. And where does that go next? You know, can you see a point where, I know, marketing is perhaps integrated with every function in the business? What does the future hold?
Certainly know in the present in my company, marketing definitely has an involvement in every team in the company. You know, we obviously there's the relationship with sales, which, you know, we don't kind of need to go into here, but we've been supporting our customer success team a lot more over the last 2 years than we had been in the past. Really as an impact from the COVID pandemic, I think, you know, we really focused inwards and said, right, let's just support our existing clients through this. So we've worked a lot closer with our customer success team to identify the ongoing needs of our clients.
Right.
But we also get involved, you know, with the development team, because again, we have quite a lean development team. We don't have UX designers or sort of product marketing sort of, you know, managers looking at how do we articulate this to our users. So that's where marketing are coming in on that one to influence, okay, you know, this is how we would design that user journey, using our marketing skill sets to apply this into the dev environment. So we'll be brought in to give our opinions on layouts of screens or progressions of a user journey. I think that your marketing team should have a really transferable, valuable skill set that all areas of the business should be able to call on. That doesn't necessarily mean you're just a business support function, because marketing does also need to be driving the longer term strategy. Your sales team are selling the product they've got today. Marketing need to be marketing the product that you're going to have tomorrow. There's a tension that I think is quite difficult to manage at times in marketing, is how much of your time is spent on that future positioning that's going to benefit you in 2 years' time versus the short-term quick wins that, you know, your sales team or customer success are shouting for you for right now.
I love that. You've given me a couple of sound bites we're going to use in the marketing of this podcast, just straight off. You're quote gold at the moment. So that's great. So what about reading then? We always kind of ask people who come on this to give us a bit of a recommendation as to a great business marketing book or podcast or whatever that they would recommend. So what would be yours?
Well, aside from the excellent BMC podcast?
Well, you know, that's taken as given. Everyone's allowed a supplementary recommendation.
Oh, goodness. Other podcasts are probably available, but not as good, right?
I wouldn't know.
No, I have to confess, I am really terrible when it comes to reading, you know, marketing kind of theory books or, you know, study models. I've got a load of books downstairs that I bought with the best intentions to, you know, actually sit down and read them. And I don't know about you, I struggle when it's something that I'm doing all day is reading and thinking, to then I can't wind down by reading a marketing book. I tried audiobooks, but I found I zoned out just thinking about whatever the person was talking about and how I would apply it into my job. So
how do you keep up to speed? Is it training courses? Is it doing research as you work? How do you keep up to date?
I think it's very much on the job kind of research, and you know, I utilize obviously a lot of the content, podcasts or webinars that our software suppliers put out. So our marketing platform, for example, obviously they do a lot of webinars on certain things, so I'll look out for those. I find the HubSpot whole marketing website just like a Bible, because I think it's a really, I think that for me, I actually use HubSpot with my team a lot as a exemplary thing of here is content marketing done so well. Mm-hmm. But what they do is they've got great sort of tactical, helpful articles. And they'll just drop in the fact that, oh, and this is a feature of HubSpot as part of that. And now go and download this great resource. So I find HubSpot really helpful for keeping me on top of the day to day. The only book that I've read that I found really useful in applying to marketing actually isn't a book about marketing. It's a book about sales.
Okay.
And it's a book called It's All About the Value. It's by a guy called Phil Sayers. And it is, you know, a very sort of simple, quick read, but it's just giving you the fundamental sales basics. It's aimed at a business owner who needs to sell something. So not a qualified salesperson, you know, it's nothing as complicated as like the challenger sale or something like that. But it's really about coaching a salesperson to understand the problem that somebody has and identifying, okay, that's the problem. Now you need to sell to them what they would be able to do if that problem was solved. I mean, it's basically an exercise in positioning a problem solution style conversation and selling your product, but without actually needing to sell the product because you've already sold the fact that they need a solution.
Yeah.
But what I find very helpful with reading that book aimed at salespeople is it's given me more of an understanding of the kind of fundamental challenges that my colleagues in sales are facing and how they should be approaching things, so that I can then adapt my approach and my marketing to help support the problems that they have or the approach that they should be taking. Mm. So it's almost, I think my enjoyment in reading that book was not understanding not reading it in a way of like what I should be doing, reading it in a way of understanding what my stakeholder is doing.
Sure.
And thinking how I adapt what I do to support them.
That's great. So it kind of helps you empathize effectively with the audience that you're working with. That's definitely research, if ever I've heard. So if people want to find out more about Pay Dashboard, what should they do?
Go to our website, paydashboard.com. Obviously, find us on our social media, etc., on LinkedIn. But, you know, we are also very involved at the moment in helping to help people understand a very topical thing, the health and social care levy coming in April, affecting a lot of people's pay. So we've got, even if you're not interested in buying pay slips, we've got lots of actually really helpful content to help people understand how their pay is going to change from March to April because of the new health and social care levy. So, even if you're not looking to find out more about digital payslips, there's definitely some help that we've got out there to help support you understand your pay.
Perfectly plugged. Laura Hughes, thank you very much.
No worries, thanks Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Laura Hughes. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you. For listening, do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from, just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk, but I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.